by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So that's the temptation that takes place. It is a temptation over the flesh. In reality, we think it's a temptation for Jesus not to be selfish. But that's really not what's taking place there. It's not the fact that Jesus was in the midst of a fast, had fasted perhaps 40 days at this time, and was hungry. And the temptation was to see if we could get, if Satan could get him to satisfy his own needs. Basically, the temptation was deeper than that. The temptation was to see if Jesus was indeed going to follow the Father's will for his ministry, or if he was going to give in to a different ministry altogether. During that 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, Jesus had invested his time in prayer and fasting. Okay? And very likely he was seeking to assimilate the shape that God would have for his ministry. And he would have been dealing with issues. Issues like, what message would he present to the people? And how would he present it? What would be the center of his ministry? How would he measure success? How would he secure the loyalty of his listeners? Jesus knew that options existed, and his plight was to choose among those options. Jesus' questions are our questions. We have to deal with the same issues. We know who we are, but we're uncertain sometimes how to express our identity. How are we to live for God? How are we to present the gospel? How are we to attempt to attract the lost to Christ? What are the means by which we're going to be able to accomplish God's call in our life? There's, again, options. And again, we have to choose among those options. And that choice is never easy. Satan tries to turn these times to his advantage. He tried to direct Jesus down an unsatisfactory route. He tried to get Jesus to get his eyes off the way that God the Father wanted him to go, and go the way that he was making appear to be so alluring and so enticing. But the depth of what's going on here is that the devil came to a tired and hungry Jesus and attempted to persuade him to make meeting people's needs, their physical needs, the heart of his ministry. Now see, it wasn't just about, if you're the Son of God, turn this stone into a bread and eat it, and your needs will be satisfied. Satan's approach was much deeper than that. He was trying to get Jesus to determine that his ministry was going to be all about meeting the physical needs of other people. And if he could do that, that would derail what God initially sent him to accomplish. That type of ministry, meeting the physical needs of people, is still very appealing today. Now, you're saying, well, isn't that what the church is supposed to do? Aren't we as Christians supposed to meet the needs, the physical needs of human beings? And the answer to that obviously is yes. But it's not the primary purpose of the church. Okay? It's not the primary purpose of what God would have us to do as His children. It is far more important that we consider the physical not at the expense of the spiritual. We need to give focus to the spiritual needs of people. We need to give attention in our ministry to bringing people into a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Now, I know it is very popular in some denominations, in some churches, to be totally immersed in social ministries. And by social ministries, I mean making sure that the hungry are fed, making sure that the homeless have shelter, making sure that folks who need clothing have clothing. All of those things are vital. All of those things are necessary. All of those things the church should have a part in accomplishing. But it is not the primary function of the church. It is not to be the primary ministry. Consider the dynamics of this temptation and how we can deal with it. First of all, the temptation begins by focusing on people's genuine needs. Jesus was hungry after a very long fast. And His empathy for the hungry people of the world was probably at a very high at that point. If He Himself is hungry, and He was, I have a hard time imagining going 4 hours without eating something, let alone 40 days. glad to hear you're listening, Joe. But imagine that. 40 days with no food. And to say at the end of 40 days He was hungry is making it a little light. He was famished. Not only was He hungry, He's physically exhausted. Now we realize He is indeed the Son of God. But we can never lose sight of the fact that at the same time He is also totally human. When He was on the face of the earth, He was just as human as you and I are. He was subject to the same needs. He was subject to the same difficulties, the same courses of nature that you and I are subject to. So it says that He was hungry. And He would have been maybe feeling the hunger of the world. I can see Him thinking, if I'm hungry, imagine all of the people around me that are hungry. And Satan knew that he was probably thinking in terms of this. And he tempted Jesus to center His life and ministry around bread. Around meeting the physical needs of other people. The temptation had a powerful appeal. Jesus could have reasoned that God would want him to have enough of everything. He would want him to make sure that no one was hungry. Why not turn these stones into bread? Well, look at all the hungry people in the world and realize that he could have fed all of them. Think about that for a moment. Jesus could have embarked on a ministry right there where he determined, I'm going to take care of the physical needs of the people of this world. From this day forward, no one is ever going to know what it's like to be hungry. Jesus would be saying to himself, I'm hungry. I feel all of the pain of hunger. I know what it's like to go without food. I don't wish to see anybody go through that. There will never be a time when people hunger again. And he could reason with God, what harm could we do in a ministry like that? And we would pretty much agree, there's no harm in that. We agree with the fact that people shouldn't be hungry. We agree with the fact that we should be feeding everyone we can. Jesus lived in a time and a place in which drought and famine often struck. Even in good times, many people worked as day laborers, people who didn't have a steady job, and they were doing anything and everything they could to make enough money to buy food for that day. If there was no work, there wouldn't be no food for that person or that person's family. They would go hungry. So Satan tempted Jesus to present himself to such a world in the guise of being a great humanitarian. And again, the question may be, well, what can be the problem with that? Especially when you think in terms of the fact that if Jesus wanted to enlist large numbers of followers and do it quickly, providing free food would have got that job done. In the place in which he lived, in the time in which he lived, in the conditions of the world that was his in that day, You can read the Gospel of John, where he fed 5,000, and then he went across the sea to the other side, and what happened? They followed. Why? Did they follow because they suddenly believed this truly is the Son of God? This is the Messiah? No, they followed because they were looking for more free food. They were looking for someone to meet their physical needs and their physical needs only. Jesus could have given himself to that kind of ministry. And as always, Satan's temptation contained substantial elements of truth. Jesus possessed the power to change stones into bread, and neither he nor anyone else would ever be hungry again if he undertook this particular ministry. So if he had chosen to center his ministry around providing instant food for everyone, his ministry would have had enjoyed immediate numerical success. There would have been a huge following. We still wrestle with this temptation to give ourselves fully to meeting the physical needs of mankind as the core of our ministry. And it can't be. It can't be the core of our ministry. It has to be the result of our ministry. Okay? And there's a difference there. The kind of ministry that we're talking about nearly always wins public approval, because people like to know that there's someone out there that's going to take care of their needs. Someone who is fully given to humanitarianism. And again, the question that will be posed is, what could go wrong with that particular approach to ministry? Well, a lot could go wrong with it. Notice, secondly, the temptation leads us into the error of treating physical needs as if they were ultimate needs. Satan tempted Jesus to act as if food was the most important thing in life. And if Jesus had accepted that premise, he would have given physical needs first place in his life and in his ministry. We give ourselves to whatever has ultimate value for us. When we're tempted to worship physical things rather than God, if we do so, we fall into idolatry and we lead others to do the same thing. Worship of physical things is the basis of idolatry from the time of Baal right up to the modern present day paganism. Satan tempts us to center our lives and our ministries around the created rather than around the Creator. And we can't resist sometimes the desire to do that. But we can resist this temptation and go on to fashion a ministry that honors God. Now, I can tell by the looks on some of your faces that you think I'm teaching that the church has no business taking care of the needs of people. If you're hearing that, adjust your hearing aid because you're not hearing the right thing. The church has the responsibility to minister to physical needs of people. Who of us who has any heart for Christ whatsoever would not offer food to a person who came to us expressing hunger? As we've demonstrated in the past as a family, as a church family, as a congregation of believers, we'll go the extra mile in helping people who have physical needs. But we need to understand that that doesn't define what our ministry is. Okay? That is the result of what our ministry truly is. The thing that we need to consider is how this temptation can be overcome. We need to dispose of two ineffective strategies and embrace the one that Jesus modeled in his ministry. First, we cannot deny the reality of human needs. As long as there are people on the face of the earth, there are going to be people in need. And we cannot deny that our responsibility to feed the hungry is a real responsibility. I'm not trying to talk you out of that whatsoever. Secondly, we can't resist this temptation by argument. We can't try to build a ministry or a core ministry that doesn't center in a relationship with God through Christ and try to argue our point with God or with anyone else for that matter. Jesus simply quoted Scripture when he was confronted by Satan. Didn't argue with him. Didn't get into a debate about whether or not he, as a Christian, the original Christian, had a responsibility to meet the needs of others. Jesus simply quoted Scripture. No argument. So we don't need to get into a great deal of debate about the rightness or the wrongness of a social ministry. To some degree, every church will have a social aspect to its ministry. Okay? If we contribute money to help feed the hungry, if we contribute money to help in crisis pregnancies, if we contribute money to any other human need, or if we give ourselves of ourselves in time and energy and resource to do those things, we are doing absolutely nothing wrong. As a Christian, those are things that ought to typify us. But what the world needs to see in us is that first and foremost, we have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ that makes us right with God. And the most important thing in the life of a true believer in Jesus Christ, a true believer in God, is the existence of that right relationship with God. That's what churches need to be involved in their ministry. Taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost world. When we do that, when we give ourselves to truly honoring God, loving God, and serving God, then as a result, we will find ourselves seeing the need in ministering to the physical needs of people. When we have dealt with the assurance that their spiritual needs are met, because believe me, a relationship with God is far more important than having your belly full. Okay? Food is not the most important thing. A right relationship with God is the thing that Jesus Christ had as His core ministry. To bring people into relationship with God. Now, having said that, if you read through the New Testament, and if I'm wrong, if someone finds this something different, you need to let me know because I've missed it, if it's there. Anytime before Jesus did a spiritual work in someone's life in the New Testament, He met a physical need. He met a physical need, and then He used that as a springboard to meet their spiritual need. But at no time did He confuse the fact that the spiritual need is far more important than the physical. We as believers, we as a church, must give ourselves completely to a ministry that preaches and teaches the kingdom of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then we'll find ourselves involved in social aspects of ministry will embrace those social ministries, not as means of enticing people to follow us, but as acts of obedience and compassion in Jesus' name. And when we go out and we get involved in social ministries, that should be our motivation. Okay? First and foremost, as believers, our ministry is to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And once we've done that, once we've given ourselves to a ministry of sharing the gospel, all these other things will fall in place and take care of themselves. So the first temptation of Jesus was a temptation of the flesh. If Satan could have convinced Jesus that what you need to do is be a humanitarian, what you need to do is make sure, because you have the power, what you need to do is make sure that every person who's hungry is fed, every person who is sick has healing, every person who has whatever need, physical need, has that need met. And if Jesus had given himself to that kind of ministry, I dare say we might have a very happy and healthy society, but we would have a lost society that had no access to a merciful, loving God who alone can forgive sin. Again, let us never fall into the temptation of letting Satan derail our ministry by making us think what we need to do first and foremost is a social ministry. Now, I realize when I use that terminology that some people wonder, what exactly are you talking about in a social ministry? I know of some churches, I know of two churches in this area that have absolutely no other ministry than a social ministry. And I'll give them credit. They do great work at what they're doing. But they're doing it at the expense of the souls of men and women. Taking care of the body, taking care of the physical, but they're overlooking the need of the spiritual. That's where we as believers need to center the core of our ministry, taking care of the spiritual needs of the lost. Any questions? Any comments?